Moreno Rabbeinu Hagon of Kan Shlita told me he's been speaking the last several weeks about Shovavim. So we're going to continue on. We're going to continue on that theme. Shovavim has taken on a lot of new life over recent years. My son, who's in the first grade, he came up on Shabbos and he told me, "Abba, Shovavim." Like, I don't know what you're learning in first grade, but all right, you know, let's relax ourselves a little bit. But he's like, "Yeah, Shmos, Eir, Bo, B'Shav, get some Mishpatim." And my wife's like, "Oh, that's what Shovavim." Like, yeah, you know, didn't just decide these weeks. You know, they had to, you had to find some cute, you know, acronym that would make sense. So it's definitely taken on. I could certainly say I did not come home in first grade and tell my parents that we had learned anything about Shovavim. So it's taken on a lot more meaning. In fact, I was thinking, what's up, Ben? Word. It's sort of like your Moshe Shabbat interview. Like you're in the wrong room right now. I'm Avin Yavin. So when I maybe got me distracted.
Sorry.
So I chocolate milk for Scottish. So I it's interesting. I was like thinking about this topic, and I remember really two stories actually ever from my called my high school years, my 2 years in yeshiva, my college years, my smicha years. So that's 12 years of my life. Close door. I remember two times, and you can stay in. I remember two times this topic ever coming up. One time, like in a shiur here, and about like 6 seconds worth of it happened to come up, the topic. And another time when I was in 9th or 10th grade, 11th grade maybe, this guy who was in went to MTA with, you know, is a very, very to the right yeshivish individual today. He was he started talking about you know, Shmiras HaBris and masturbation and how he was learning with his brother who was in some Haredi kollel in Yerushalayim that said, like, basically we're all going to die and burn in hell because we're all terrible and we don't watch our bris. And okay, and, you know, as any 10th, 11th grader in MTA life would go, we heard that, we moved on in life, although I do remember this now 15, 16 years later that he said that. But those are my only two times I remember in my formal educational years of this ever coming up. So it clearly wasn't so much of a topic, but now, you know, kind of doing it every week, and I think many others feeling comfortable to speak about it. I happen to think if you have a Rebbe who won't talk about this, he never talked about Shmiras HaBris, he should actually tell his boss, I don't deserve to get my paycheck, because, not if you're teaching first graders, but, you know, in the age that you guys are, if the topic's not going to be brought up, like, you know, what are we doing? It's a struggle of the generation. When I was in YU, I don't know why this was shocking to me, but it definitely was shocking. Dr. Pelkovitz, he's a big psychologist in Great Neck, and he was saying, fascinating, that he deals with people that really ruin their lives over Shmiras HaBris and looking at things they shouldn't do, affairs. And he was saying that there were big rabbanim in Rosh Yeshiva and YU that were struggling with this. And to me, that was very shocking. But if you think about the fact that only twice in my life has this topic really ever come up in anywhere of an open area, so of course it's shocking. Because no one struggles with it if it never comes up. Like, you know, if we never talked about chakras attendance here, we'd obviously think chakras attendance is good. But all we ever talk about in Leva Torah is chakras attendance. And if you ever come down at 8 o'clock to the base medrash for chakras, you'll realize it's not so great. Because that's what we talk about. So if you never bring a topic up, it's probably not such a big issue. So when Dr. Pelkovitz brought it up, I'm like, what, really? Like that rabbi? He didn't say which Rabbanovich would have been. It would have been great Lashon Hara, but I guess that's what makes Lashon Hara great. It would have been that would have been unbelievable to know who was struggling with it. But he didn't bring that up. But it was very comforting and also eye opening to realize that, wow, this is a thing that on a broad level is really a problem for everybody. I don't know if you fellas had this. There's one Shana'al comrade who got a filter. And I once got a filter, and then 3 days later, my computer crashed. And when I went back to Radio Shack, they said I couldn't get a new computer. I was so angry. I never shopped at Radio Shack again in my life. So I don't know. I'm sure they make better filters than like the K9 filter or whatever I got that crashed my computer. But this guy was actually telling me, like, he can't really look at anything on his phone, and he's He's really seen massive improvement, and obviously that just talks to the sense of the steps we have to take. And that really, high school kids are like, this is like a big thing now. People are proud. Again, no one talked about it in my time, so everyone just lived their lives privately and did what they did. But now this is definitely the stumbling thing of our door, but it's also something that people really really do care about. There was a fella I lived near. The main thing I'm gonna talk about is just how much wasting time comes from when, you know, you look at things you shouldn't look at, and just hours and hours of time to spend. But I couldn't not bring up this story. It's a very sad story, but I think it's important to bring it up. There was a guy I lived near at a point in one of my stops in my life, and he was once involved in a sting operation. Now, I don't know how many of you know of the world of zonas, but it's actually illegal. Prostitution's illegal. Now, why is prostitution illegal? Because they're not really the most cared about members of society. They're certainly not in the safest positions in the world, and a lot of things can happen. So, in an effort to protect them, and also then to catch people, they had what they called this sting operation. There were like 100 people that got caught in like a two day thing. And there was this guy that I happened to have known. He got caught. Amazingly, he stayed married. And ultimately, did not. But he did stay married for many, many years, and which was incredible to me. And it stemmed to a lot of questions you could have. Why? And we can talk about this on a separate time. Is a physical affair a worse thing to do to your spouse, or an emotional affair? So that's a good question. It could be that a physical affair one is more forgiving of and understands, because as you know, I don't know if you guys know what platonic relationships are. Of course you do. You're Shana Aleph guys. Platonic relationships are not a real thing, because you're going to get to a point in life, you're going to be married to Mirza Shem, and you're not going to be friends with other women, because that's not who you're going to confide with. You're going to confide with your wife. So when you emotionally confide with another woman, that's a real stab in the back to your wife, because I can get pregnant and put on a lot of weight, or not, life isn't always like your first date, where, like, you know, for a guy, a first date is like, I don't know, maybe you showered and shaved, maybe you didn't, and then, you know, you get in your car or whatever, and you meet her, and the girl, it's like a 6-hour process getting ready. But once you get married, life stops being that 6-hour process. So, okay, you know, it might be that, you know, you, whatever, hopefully none of us can ever, hope, I mean, I'm only married in this room, but hopefully nobody should ever fall into that. But when you emotionally emotionally cheat on your wife, which is what a platonic relationship is, that's very hurtful to her, because it shouldn't matter I got pregnant, it shouldn't matter that this, that, and the other thing. But a physical thing, she might care more, but she might care less about, because, okay, I get it. No, maybe I don't look as good anymore. That doesn't make you a better person if you cheated on your wife. You're still a bad person. But it could be that women are more forgiving of that. It could be that also they're not. But in any event, what this point of the story was, it got me thinking that this guy, he probably has always had these issues. He never dealt with them. And, you know, it's sort of like when someone does drugs. And when I once was subbing in Rabot this year, I gave a heter for marijuana. But it's sort of like when people do drugs. But, you know, eventually, as you get older, or maybe, you know, bigger, like, you graduate from weed. Like, you know, I'm sure everyone in this room knows people that do weed. You probably don't know so many people that do, like, heroin and coke. But as time goes on, you graduate. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing with Shmiras and Bris, and now, you know, eventually, okay, I look at things I shouldn't look at, and then, you know, you ruin marriages and you ruin relationships. Okay, that's Adkan on that, and now we're going to talk about just the wasting time, the Indian of wasting time. A lot of people have this question: why can't I get into Torah? Why can't I get into Torah? Now it'll be all for Ben. Always a pleasure. Remember to go to your Ennismore interview next time. We'll talk at a different time.
No, it's so good. It's like when you do sin, you're judged and accounted. You're judged for the sin that you did, and you're accounted an additional sin point for like the time that you wasted doing that sin.
So the question is, people ask, why can't I get into Torah? So, okay, yeah, Shanab, I hate Gemara. Okay, fine, that's why we can't get into Torah. Eventually, like everything else, we grow up, we stop wearing diapers, and we're able to be big boys, and we can stop saying that line. But okay, while that line's in our minds. So people ask, why can't I get into Torah? So a big reason why people can't get into Torah is, one, our minds are everywhere else, but you see it. It's very clear. I was talking to a guy also, a different guy about this recently. Like, it's so clear. Like, his head's in a million places. And I'm like, what do you do every night? And you know, it got into what he does every night, because you can't possibly be like focusing on, you know, Trixie and Molly and, you know, whatever else you're watching, and then all of a sudden, okay, I'm so into Rav Kanshir. Of course, you're not into Rav Kanshir. You're thinking about whatever it is that's going to go on. I didn't have the challenges I had. Certainly, when I was in yeshiva, were very, very different. You know, we didn't have. There was one guy in yeshiva had a BlackBerry. Probably like to have gone on like the internet then would have taken about like 7 hours. So you know, it was very, very different times and the devices we had. You know, we just played like this game Snake on like the Nokia phone. You might know what that is. You might not know what that is. Probably your parents would know what that is. But you know, we had very, very different challenges. But it's impossible. It's impossible to get into Lima Torah when our minds are essentially in the gutter. A guy told me last week, it was scary, sad, that he told me every day since puberty he has looked at things he shouldn't have looked at, and then ultimately done what he shouldn't do. And you know, Baruch Hashem for Excel wasn't all that difficult. I was able to map in, assuming he took an hour a day for the last 6-7 years, it came out to 91 days of his life. Okay. Let's take that out. Let's all focus on what that means. 91 days. Not like 91 days, like 3 months. Like entire 91 days. 91 full days. We have less than 91 days until Bein HaZmanim. Unbelievable. Hard to believe that. And some of you can get really, really excited about that. Others be like, wow, 91 is a lot of days. You don't mean more like 23 more days? Okay, we have less than 90, I think like 86, 87 days till, I guess about 3 months, 80, no, whatever it is, till Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Imagine what your lives will be. What, Eddie won't be going to Maryland for the next 91 days. He doesn't sleep. He pulls a Yaakov Avinu, Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver. He just learns for the next 91 days. You don't do anything else. 91 days is a lot of time. It really is a lot of time. If you just focus on Torah for the next 91 days, they're going to be right. Your whole family, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, everything is going to be different. Now, I get it. We're in Leva Torah, and even if we were in like Shalavim, okay, that, you know, that's a little 91 full days. Okay, I got to sleep a little bit. I have to do this. I have to do that. Okay, I get it. We all have excuses, and that would be valid. Those would be valid. But just think about what we can do in that amount of time. That's an insane amount of time. Like, it's not. It's really. I mean, not like, I don't know if anyone. I don't know if the 15-hour day screen time guys in this room. I apologize if it is. Okay, you know, it's not quite 15 hours a day of screen time. But that still really is a lot of time. And that also just pulls into a plug that, for those of you that don't know, I know I was telling a friend of mine, he's an accountant. I was telling him why he can't go into chinuch. Like, you don't understand what this generation is like. Like, what do you mean? Like, you know WhatsApp? I happen to have a pet peeve. I see people have like 13,000 unread emails. You have like 86 WhatsApp things open. That happens to be a major pet peeve of mine. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. Okay, I guess if you do it, it doesn't really affect me all that much if one does it, but it happens to drive me crazy. I told the guy, I'll send someone a WhatsApp, and they won't respond. Like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know. They just don't read anything. They don't read it. Like, okay, some do, some don't. But like, many, like, yeah, like, they get so many. Like, you, like, I wake up, and I have like 15 different things of WhatsApp, some that can have like 100 messages. So I'm 34, so I read all of them. But if you guys wake up to a group with 200 messages, there's no way you're reading it. You're like, okay, skip. And it could be that, like, I don't know, like, it could be that, like, your mother is going in for a major surgery. Like, it could be like a really big thing is happening. But 200 messages, 5 messages, a half a message, it's all too much. So there has been something that's gone out. We have started it during independent study, I think even in the morning before Kol Boker, after night seder. We're having a learning incentive until Purim Katan. To finish a Masechta. I hope every one of you are going to take a Masechta and are going to join me at Papagayos. It's going to be great. You can all do it. 91 days. Okay, it's less than 91 days, but just imagine focusing our time on something productive and really what we're able to do. And to take the chizuk of this guy. Okay, hopefully it's not any of you, but I, you know, it's not any. Everybody on some level has some struggles in these areas. So whatever amount of time is being wasted, and even when you graduate, Shemir Tanayim, like whatever it is that we're struggling, like, it causes such a waste of a time. And I happen to think this. I don't say the name, but there was a guy I was telling, like, the difference between a guy and a girl. I have to be having. I think I'm having guys for Shabbos, but who knows? Who knows? With you know, they could all go positive, and I could go positive. And my niece, who's Shana'af, asked to come as well. I'm not really. We haven't yet made a decision. My wife and I don't think I'm going to have them together. I don't think it's such a great idea. Not because I'm worried about anything. My niece is very, very from. I'm not like so concerned with anything coming of it. But I was telling a guy once. I didn't think a guy and a girl is. What happens is like a guy sees a girl walking. Who's like very good looking. And like you'll look at her, she's on your mind the rest of the day. The girl walks past you, she totally forgot about it a half a second later. It just takes up our mind. Like we consume our mind and our thoughts. Like the amount of time it wastes, it's just astronomical. I was telling one of the shirim last week about Lima Torah, but just like anything when you waste time, like take out your phone. It's great. You know, you can do stopwatch. Stop, go. And you can see how much time you waste with utter nonsense during the day. Let's even say if there's things that are mutter. Let's even say that. Because the amount of time that you waste is insane. And when you look at it, you're like, wow, it's like, and this isn't you. I'm talking to myself. I waste a lot of time. It's not like you guys aren't special in that regard. We all waste time. We find different things to waste, but we all waste time. But it's time. It's time. It's time to be better. It's time to be stronger. It's time to realize that the potential we're able to have in this world is really great. There's a story of the Vilna Gaon. I you know, these stories. Sometimes people get moved by them. People don't get moved by them. It's hard to know what to make of them. But there's an Arab Rosh Hashanah. The Vilna Gaon was crying because he had been mivatel like 12 minutes of Torah that year. Again, like it's very hard to know like what to take of that. Like. Is there anyone in the world today? Like Chaim Kanievsky, is that even like? Is it connect to anyone today? Like Rashabai is great, receiver great. Like they bought them more than 12 minutes a year. Like okay, it's hard to make of that. But he was really sad. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the time is. It's understanding that we have a purpose in this world. We're not going to all be gadolim in Torah. Like, it's not our purpose. But we all have the ability to be gadolim in something. To take on something, to make a significant impact in the world. I had, you know, I'm getting a little tired of these like public groups I'm in, especially ones where everyone can message because they become inappropriate. They become like Lashon Hara Fest. But I mean, one in my apartment complex group, which is generally pretty appropriate. Someone asked, I don't know if you guys, this thing Klafim, I don't know, it's like the new Pokemon. I don't know if my kids are into it, people are into it. Someone asked, can you pick up for me? Okay, happened to be, they're like, okay, can you get in the Merkaz? So, I was getting pizza that night in the Merkaz, and for whatever reason, it's ridiculous. You go to America, I order a pie and pizza, I'm out of the store in 10 seconds. Somehow in Israel, like, the pie's there, 18 minutes. Like, 18 minutes? Like, I'm here, you have a pie. Give it to me, I give you money, we go. No! 18 minutes. Okay. Gotta be a rude, you're rude Israeli after 10 minutes. You go, oh, where's my pizza? And I find it everywhere. Some stores, like, actually, you know what? But most of them are just... Well, whatever. Okay, fine. So when you know you got 18, 20 minutes in there, okay, so I told the person posted, can you pick up these things? I went there, they're like, oh, you're such a tzaddik. And I'm like, am I really such a tzaddik? Is that really such a righteous act? Like, I could sit on the chair waiting for my pizza, like going crazy because it's so stressful, like on my phone doing nothing. I could go do other shopping and do stuff. I'm there anyway. Like, does it really make you a tzaddik? No, it doesn't make you a tzaddik. It just means that your eyes are open. It means that like we have. There are opportunities everywhere, anywhere, and everywhere. And I'm seeing myself because I never jump when Mary says, "Who wants to set up for lunch?" If you're a rabbi, like when you see that message, assuming you actually look at your phone and you're like pretending you didn't see it or don't want to do, it, like, okay, you're not a rush. I don't do it either. You're normal. I don't want to do it. I don't want to set up for lunch. I get that. You know, I don't. I give my kids chores for a reason. I don't want to set up for dinner. I get it. We all get it. We all understand it, but there are a million opportunities. It doesn't and anything and everything that we do, but it's about the idea of like valuing our time. Like there's so much we can accomplish in this world. There's so many Kiddush Hashems that we can make, and they get wasted. They get wasted because what do we really do with our time? And that's even getting into like levels of. And I'm not saying like. And then like, oh, don't do, like, do mutter things, like, watch, like, don't know why I did it today. It's not really a point of watching like Steelers Browns highlights, but except if you want to make fun of like Kyle. But like I'm saying, well, besides that, what am I really doing watching? I'm like, yeah, I go Monday morning. I watch football highlights during my run. Sometimes you know going a little slow because like it's you know quite a close game in the fourth quarter. Okay, got to be safe also. But you know, okay, I get it. I'm not even saying like do things like that. Don't not do that. But everything in moderation, and to really realize like. When I look at my life, what do I want my life to be? Do I want my life to be full of moments like I'm really maximizing, I'm taking advantage of the moment. Like, we'll go back to I asked the guy, like, I learned so much I can't do during this during independent study. I'm like, what do you do during independent study? Not much. Like, so just do it during independent study, like you're not doing anything then anyway. Like, That's an opportunity. I won't remember who's here after, but it really should be. Each and every one of you should make an effort to finish something between courses to make it seem that's very special. Like to have, to eat like pigs all you can. Okay, whatever, you know, what do you got to do? It's the door we live in. But while eating there and to just be seeing, you know, 20, 30, 40 CMs and, you know, keeping me busy. We got to get sponsors for it, you know, keep me busy. Like that's an opportunity. What are we doing with our time? Like, there's so much we could do in this world, and eventually, you know, and tragedies happen, Mr. Shem, to no one in this room, but you know, it's not that we're not living in the times of like Saint Preparatius where okay, I'm going to live to be like 940 or you know 876. Like that's not happening. Like, you know, if we have a good life, we'll get to like 100, a little over 100. Like that's not so much, and many are like. What are we doing with our, what do we want our life to be at the end of the time? Like, it's not going to be, you're not going to say like, you know, you're going to up to Shemayim. I mean, you know, people have done daring things in the world, but imagine that you go up to God and be like to God, you know, I wish I just looked at things I shouldn't look at one more time and wasted another 3 hours with that as opposed to doing something productive for me, for society, for the world, you know, whatever it might be. Take advantage of your time. Okay, next. Shacharis. Getting back to why can't we wake up for Shacharis? Because we're exhausted. Whether looking at things we shouldn't be looking, or just stop. And that gets into wasting time also. And I don't know if Rebusher's come here with this sleep thing. I don't know. But sleep's important. Sleep's not like a fake thing. Sleep's like really, really, really real. And when I had when we had our baby on Moshe Shabbos, so like right before midnight. I went to bed like 3 a.m. that night and woke up at 5 the next morning. And it took me like 3 weeks to recover from that. Why did it take me 3 weeks? Okay, maybe I'm not so strong. That's why I had to start running to get me in better shape. I don't know. But because we need sleep. Sleep's an important thing. And we're drained from doing nothing. It just makes us physically exhausted. And then you just feel like, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? Why can't I show up in the morning? Because whatever we're doing, we're just so tired. It's really I haven't even think there was a guy in it was probably one of the it was a top guy, and the guy would learn till like the wee hours of the night. He would just say like, oh, why, even I didn't know this. I didn't learn till 2-3 a.m. in YU. I mean, I'm not saying me, like. Everyone besides this one guy would fall into that category, and he would ask me, he'd say like, "How do you close the base there? You got to keep it open for longer." And the guy would like never show up to Shacharis. So I'm not gonna say like you should learn until 2-3 a.m. then not show up. Like, just be normal. Do everything in balance. Have a normal seder on your life. And to really, and we'll conclude with this. In this, and we said it before, in this door we're living in, you know, the one when, I don't subscribe to the Haredi world, but there's a lot of things the Haredi world does, which I like. The number one thing being that they say you're not allowed to have one, a kid is not allowed to have one of these. Why do I like that? It makes parenting very, very easy. It's very easy when my kid tells me, my kid's turning 6. It could be in 2 years. He's going to tell me, half my class has an iPhone. You got to get me an iPhone. I'm like, half your class has an iPhone? You're 8. What do you have an iPhone for? And but it's coming. It's coming. I already know like that. If it's not 8, it'll be by 10. Like, we're not talking about it being so far away. And there they say it's us. They're like, okay, what do you want to tell you? The school says it's us. There's nothing to talk. Okay, there could be 3 kids that are doing it. Like, okay, they got rules. We're gonna follow rules. Like, but you know, but if you don't grow up in that world, like, we're You know, I imagine by your bar mitzvah, each and every one of you had a smartphone, and it's a struggle of the door. Like, you know, we have you have access to anything and everything, and from that which is mutter to that which is very 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 usher. But in any event, what it does is, like, not that I never had the greatest level of focus in my life. I was never like one of the people who had such a great level of focus. But if I had had this from the time I was like 13, like my mind would literally be a roller coaster. Like it wouldn't be possible to focus. It's very, very challenging. You know, it's not okay. Screen time is a good incentive. Like, you know, you want to in hours of learning Torah and amount of chesed and amount of minyanim, you want to be going up. In screen time, you want to be going down each week. You know, if you're at like, you know, like 13 hours per day and keeping Shabbos, like, that's probably a thing that you want to like be like, well, that's really bad. You know, 13 hours on only 6 days a week. That's really bad. That means your life has been overtaken. Okay, you want to be going down in that. You want to be seeing improvement. But to really understand that it's not little decisions that are being made now. That your time is the utmost important. Like, we don't get that back. We get one chance. We're going to get into reincarnation. We're not going to talk about reincarnation. You're getting one chance of your body, of your human that you are right now. You're getting one chance in this world, and you want to make the most of that. And the only way to make the most of that is to be maximizing moments. Is to be capitalizing on moments, and not to be saying, "Oh, the yeshiva doesn't motivate us. Doesn't incentivize us." So you guys should be. I don't know if you guys are normally this year, but I think this is better than we had when Rav Khan was here. That's saying a lot that 10 of you are here when your Rebbe's not here. Very easily could have been, okay, we wouldn't show up. Well, he's not here. Or he won't know. Like, that says a lot. That says that, like, you're in the right place. You're doing, if you don't realize you're doing well, you are doing well. You're doing better than you think. But to take that time, three months. In 3 months from now, what do we want? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. You know, If you think students look forward to vacation, staff looks forward to vacation even more. I'm looking forward to it. I don't get off from Shoshin Yisrael. How have I? But whenever I get off starting from Pesach, I'm definitely looking forward to that. Let these next 3 months be really real. We're having issues with Shmiras Anayim and Shmiras Abris. We're really focusing on that. We're really focusing on our time. We're making the most of our time. We're not wasting moments. If we haven't yet told Rav Tanel that we're going to learn a Masechta during independent study, we're going to learn a Masechta during independent study, because that's a yeshiva thing. That's what the yeshiva is doing, and we're part of the yeshiva, and we're part of the greater good. And you can say, oh, okay, you know, MIT guy's probably really, really smart. I know your name, Benny. He's really, really smart. Nah, I'm not going to do a whole Masechta today. I won't know it. I'll just do something else. Even if you won't know it as well, be part. Maybe you already signed up. I don't know. Be part of the island. Be part of this is what's happening. Be part of, like, we're gonna go to Papagayo. Be one of those guys. All of you. Be one of those guys. Put pressure on me to raise money. I want it. I want that pressure. I need an incentive too. Push yourselves. Take value of your time. Okay, we're not gonna be the grudge. We're gonna have 12 minutes. We're gonna Erev Rosh Hashanah. We're gonna be like, oh, we only wasted 12 minutes. It could be that the tragedy of our generation is we have no idea how much time we waste. You know, that's the greatest thing to take from that story is he actually knew. He had an accounting, he had a ledger of how much time he wasted. We have no idea how much time we wasted on really anything, let alone that which is killing ourselves and killing our neshamas. But take advantage of your time, maximize your time, and be open to being great. And also, now is going to be the time where you'll have, doesn't matter what you do next year. I mean, it does matter, but we'll just, for the sake of argument, we'll say it doesn't matter what you do next year. But like anything in life, if we're not open-minded, if we're so closed-minded, like, I have to go to Maryland. Why do I have to go to Maryland? Because somehow in like 10th grade, it was determined if I don't go to Maryland, like, this world, and, you know, God won't be able to run a world if I'm not in Maryland next year. I mean, I'm pretty sure he'll be able to run a world if you're not in Maryland. But okay, for whatever case. And it could be you go in Maryland. It happens to be of colleges that our guys go to. Maryland's not the one I'm going to gripe on, because guys are doing great that are there. But it doesn't mean that they should be there. But okay, we're not going to gripe on that. But be open-minded. Be open-minded to maybe not going there. Be open-minded to what another year of learning is. And you know, I'll even be as daring to say, and a year after that, and a year after that, and a year after that, you know, eventually you got to get a job. You know, whatever amount of time it has to be, but be open-minded. These times, like, I'm taking a full grasp of what my time really means, and I'm being open-minded. I'm not going to have this closed-minded that this is how I envision things, this is what life has to be, and nothing else can possibly be real, and whatever anyone else says is not real, and I don't need to listen to it because I've already made my decisions. Be open-minded. And whatever is going to come is going to come. And you can make decisions. Like, you're allowed to evaluate a decision. And we're not bashing whatever anyone does at any point in their life. Like, you're allowed to be like, this is what I'm deciding. But if we don't even consider, like, I can't do that. Oh, can't even get to, like, what it'll mean to my parents. Okay, I don't want to, like, Reshefter did say, like, you know, you can't argue with parents. He did say that when he was here. So, you know, if your parents say that, you know, you have to do this and that, okay. But, you know, your parents know you better than anyone else knows you. But assuming that that's not the case, being open-minded to, we have 3 months, 91 days. You know, it's a Nebuch, 91 days of time. This guy's his kid since puberty. It's terrible. Almost impossible to fathom. But okay, 91 days is a lot of time. 3 months to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Shvat, 2 others. And not even, because after Purim, like, we're done also. So it's really 2.5 months. 2.5 months. Fly. Fly as high and as much as you guys can. Be account for your time and really make the most of each moment. And Be'ezras Hashem, we're all going to grow. And we're not going to recognize it. We're not going to recognize each other in 2.5 months. I mean, we'll all look the same. We're not going to do, like, superficial things, like, you know, put on, like, different clothing, which doesn't really represent or mean anything. But we're all going to be, as individuals, we're all going to be different people.